Hello, basketball fans, and welcome to the first edition of the EuroLeague Fantasy Podcast. My name is Frankie Sachs, and I'm pleased to introduce my friend and colleague, Senor Javier Gancedo.
What's up, Frankie? Everything good? Ready for a fantasy season or not really?
I am not only ready, I'm excited to do this podcast and for everybody to see why we call you the guru of fantasy.
Well, some people are going to be disappointed. Maybe not. Maybe I'll do great this season. I mean, but we're going to have some guests that are probably better than us. We're going to have some former players. We're going to have a lot of surprises that we'll be revealing. But right now, we have to focus on what's new in the game, right?
Yeah, absolutely. There's some cool things that we're introducing this game. I've been playing from the very beginning. I've always loved the EuroLeague Fantasy Challenge. It makes those games a little bit extra interesting when you're watching. You know, there's always something, whether you have a favorite team or a favorite player, all of a sudden you have a team and there's a different angle that you're rooting for. You're at the end of blowouts, you're worried about turnovers and fouls. So it always adds something to the game. So I love it, and I'm excited to talk about the new things that we're going to have this season.
But I have to point out that this is the 20th season of the Fantasy Challenge, and a lot of players, became addicted to the game, and also became more popular because of the game, especially those who started the season being a little bit, let's say, cheap or underpriced. A lot of people buy them, and they are asking around and everything. But since this is the 20th season, we decided to, make a little twist, and especially make the game look better. And we have a new stats page that I think is going to please everybody.
That's not the only thing that's new. This year, for the first time, we're going to have several times during the season where you can whitewash your entire team, start from scratch, sell everybody, build anew, come in with 10 new players and a new head coach.
Yeah, there's a lot of people who have criticized this on social media, we have to say. But I'm sure that when the time comes and they can change the team, they're going to do it. So, I mean, it is what it is. I mean, I think it's a great opportunity for people, especially for people who didn't have a good start, to actually, make a new team and try to, rejoin the race or to win a private league or to win a league between friends or to even do better in the overall standing. So second chances are always good.
I also think it adds a new strategy. You have to learn how to use it, what moves to make the week before, the week after. And the second chance is somewhat fair. Sometimes you get stuck all of a sudden with a couple of injuries, a couple of things that go wrong. We've seen that happen in the past when we had the years with COVID-19 and players were coming out. So therefore, or games were being moved, so you allowed more. And you just had to learn how to adjust to the strategy. I think that this will challenge even the best of players.
Yeah, and we haven't talked enough about the stats page. I think it's great, and it's going to be even better as the season goes on because it has so much depth, so many options that it's going to give you, if you use it well, it's going to be a very powerful tool for fantasy managers to do better. In the end, it's all about beating your opponent, whether your opponent is everybody out there and you win the whole thing or just your friends to win the private league. Anything you can use is good enough.
All right. In future episodes, we'll talk a little bit more about strategy and how we build our teams. But certainly having a stats tool like that will allow people to lean into things that they may not have realized and give them, if they use it properly, an edge on certain competitors.
Well, we have a private access to all the player pricing, we have to say. Of course, it's already out there and you can see it, but we have him watching this for days. And what do you think? It's difficult. I mean, I tried to figure out a team like mentally, and it's going to be hard to make a competitive team in round one, I tell you.
So because we've had that access, I've actually looked around and I'm quite excited for my strategy, which we'll talk about going forward. But I feel like there's a lot of options in the lower price ranges, which will be quite good. But what you need to hit also on is a couple of the superstars. So why don't you tell us about some of the highest priced players, which are the biggest stars in the game, and let's see what we think of them.
Okay, let's start with the top 10. Let's see if you agree or not that the top rated player is Walter Tavares of Real Madrid. I think it's only logical. There are not too many centers. He has been a dominant force in the past 5 years, and at 16 credits, he's the most expensive player in the game. But I think that at 16, he may be cheap in the long run. I would probably go for him if. I mean, I have to check the schedule because the schedule is one of the most important things when it comes to strategy. But Tavares at 16 credits could be even an interesting option.
Yeah, we'll have to see how things go this year and how the team looks. But for sure, a player like Tavares can get you points in so many ways with the block shots, the rebounds, drawing fouls, making those foul shots. He shoots at a very high percentage on the near the basket, dunks, mid-range shots. He's just a beast that way. I don't know that I expect him to finish the season as the number one guy, but I think that he's almost a sure thing at the 16 credits to get you a lot of value.
Yeah, well, rounding out the top 10 is actually 11 players because there are two players with 14.5 credits. But we have Nikola Mirotic of EA7 Olimpia Milano. We have Willy Hernangómez of FC Barcelona, Kemba Walker of AS Monaco, Will Clyburn of Anadolu FS Istanbul, Lorenzo Brown of Maccabi Atletica Tel Aviv, Matthias Lesort of Panathinaikos Athens, Mike James also of Monaco, Wade Bowen also of Maccabi, Juancho Hernan Gomez, Billy's brother of Panathinaikos, and Shane Larkin of Efes. I think there are no surprises here. Those are superstars. There are a couple of three newcomers, actually. The Hernan Gomez brothers and Kemba Walker. And these are the three players I would try to maybe avoid for the moment. Wait and see, right? I mean, I don't think they're going to have a sudden impact in the competition, especially since the Hernan Gomez brothers have been in the FIBA World Cup. Maybe they won't be fully adjusted to the new teams, but that's how I see it. I'm not going to go for these three guys in the beginning.
I could not agree more. I think you always want to be careful with guys who are new to their teams, certainly guys who are new to the EuroLeague, which is in the case of Kemba Walker. You know, more power to him if he proves us wrong, but I just think it'll take some slow going. They've got a strong, healthy backcourt there, a lot of good players, so I don't think they have to rush him and make him, you know, give him the ball that much, force him to do that much early in the beginning. You know, you've got an MVP candidate there in Mike James. So I think Kemba Walker may not have an instant impact, a huge instant impact out of the gate. And also the Hernan Gomez brothers, like you said, they were away. They're new. They're back from the NBA. There are new teams. Those teams may build around them. I believe they will build around them. Those guys will be stars down the stretch. But after missing the first part of training camp, I reserve at least to see how they're doing in the last couple of games before round one.
There are three players that I consider very, very, very interesting who are not in this list. Facu Campazzo is one of them. And Facu is exactly, let me check. Facu is at 13.8 credits. Zana Musa is 13.6. Maybe too many Madrid players, but I think that these three players are going to be the stars of the team along with Gabriel Deck. Nikola Milutinov of Olympiakos is listed at 14 credits, ranking 13th overall. I don't know if it's going to be like bargains in the game or not, but these are players that I could, I mean, consider.
Have one bargain already picked out, which I think I will wait to. I won't reveal just yet, but I will say he's somebody who's under 8 credits, who I am picking guaranteed to be one of my go-to guys, at least at the beginning of the season, unless something, you know, goes wrong in the next couple of weeks. But there's a lot of good value. I think that people who are looking for bargains at the end of the bench will see a lot of value in the lower scores, and you have to pick wisely with the guys who are valued at 13 credits or more.
You know, this is a bad thing for you, this podcast, is that any good idea that you have, I'm going to copy it, just like that. Because this is what I've been going through with the fantasy column that I used to write on EuroLeagueNet. I will have to publish it on Monday, and I saw people copying me like all the time.
I will let people go know behind the scenes. I would edit that. I'd make my team beforehand, so it was all original thought. Then I would edit your column, and if you had some great idea, then I'd go back in and I would dump my players and steal your great idea. So that's how it works. This year, we will be making our teams probably before we record the podcast every week, so we have our own original ideas. But that means we can still go and change them and steal ideas. That's maybe why we should each have multiple teams. Maybe the team that we have to stick to on Monday morning that we go with in the podcast, and then the team that goes that we can make the adjustments after.
Yes, sometimes the first impression is the best one. Sometimes you make the trades and you have a great team, and then you start adjusting it and you lose points. I'm thinking about, I'm checking out the list, and I wonder who is this player that you say that is under 8 credits. I'm seeing John Brown at 7.8, Gabriele Prozida at 7.7, Andreas Obst, of course, at 7.6. Well, there are a lot of interesting players, and these are the players that you need to win fantasy, because stars, you know, they already have a big value, and it's difficult for them to gain credits. But if you ace one of these two players that are underrated, and you keep them for a long time, and they make you win a lot of credits, that's when you use them to be better.
I will ask you for your two greatest historical picks in round one that turned out to be worth the most in the long run, and I will then tell you who mine were.
You mean a pick that I made historically in round one that
really round delivered? One that turned out to be brilliant and earned you a lot of credits.
I mean, right now I wouldn't name anybody in round one, but I remember somebody I picked in a round five one year. That was Bobby Brown. Bobby Brown of Montepaschi Siena. I remember I picked him, and he immediately had a 41-point game. And after that, he was a monster. He was putting 25, 26, 27 PIR every day for like 8-9 consecutive games, and it was crazy. It was my best fantasy pick probably of all time.
So my best two were Nikola Pekovic, his first year at Partizan. I had him already round one, and he was undervalued, and he was a monster. And my other one was, a lot of people knew about him, but the 16-year-old Ricky Rubio as a EuroLeague rookie, who was also quite undervalued. And although he didn't put up monster numbers that year with Joventut, the numbers were still pretty good for a guy that I picked up at also some very small amount of credits and rode him for most of the season. Also, if you can get guys like that in round one, it can turn your whole season around.
I can tell you what was my biggest mistake, because I used to price players, you know, for maybe 15 years. And now I don't price players anymore. I help them adjust some prices. But my biggest mistake, heavily undervaluing a player, was when Martinas Pocius came into Žalgiris. I put him in the almost minimum value. And I think it was 65% of the people bought Martinas Pocius in round one. So that's how it
happens
goes.
To the best of us, doesn't it?
Yeah. Anyway, we should wrap it up, right?
Yes.
I think the cards are on the table already. The game is open. You can go try your teams. We're going to have Arale Weisberg, fantasy expert, to talk about bargains very soon. So stay tuned. And I don't know. It's going to be a season-long experience, and we're going to compete against each other. So be ready, because I'm going to be very, very competitive, and you know it.
I can't wait. I'm looking forward to it.
All right. Well, Frankie, see you next time. And like I said, study well, because this is going to be a long run, I promise.
Thank you for joining us, everybody. We'll see you next time.